The gospel reading this morning that is in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and following, also a call to Peter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake at Gennesareth, which is also the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I shall let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be a fisher of men." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. This morning we begin a series entitled, "He Still Touches Lies." And this morning I want to think about "He Still Calls Us by Name." And this series will lead us into Easter and the celebration of the resurrection and thinking about God's great gift of life and love to us. First, though, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man who got onto a plane and he sat down next to a beautiful single woman and he tried to strike up a conversation with her and he said, "Well, what kind of men do you like?" And she said, "Well, I like Native American men with their beautiful high cheekbones and golden red tans, and yeah, plus, I like Jewish men. They're so brilliant and successful. And, well, I also like good old boys from the South with their long southern drawl." And she said, "Well, what's your name?" And he thought for a moment. He said, "Well, my name's Geronimo Bernstein, but my friends call me Bubba." You know, names are unique and special, and we always like it when someone knows our name. And so this morning, I want to think about Jesus and thinking about he still calls us by name. And I want to look at these calls of Jesus to Peter this morning. And in the first one, I want to think about that Jesus still calls us by name to believe. And we look in this scripture verse in John, the first chapter, and as we sort of walk through that, then you look at this and you realize that Jesus not only knew the names of disciples, but he also knew their character. And character was really very much a part of the names of this time. And so Jesus didn't just sort of know them by face. Jesus knew them by their name and their character and their fears and frustrations in the deepest part of them. And when you look at this, Jesus had just previously had gone to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was this colorful character in camel's skin, ate locusts and wild honey, and he was had sandals, and he was baptizing people to Jordan River and denouncing the sin of the countryside that was going on. And Jesus came, and John looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," which goes so much with what the choir sang this morning. And then he said, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." And Jesus said it to be fulfilled. And so John baptized Jesus, and Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit descended as a dove upon him. And the next day, we pick up the scene with that reading, and John says again, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we're told that a number of the disciples who followed John the Baptist from that point became followers of Jesus Christ. And Peter, we believe, was one of them. This was near Bethsaida, which is a fishing town on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and it's very near the Jordan River, so that makes sense, and this is probably where Peter and Andrew grew up, and so they had a fishing business there, and so Jesus walks through there and says this, that the two disciples heard this, said, they began to follow Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them, he said, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." Notice Jesus just tell them some facts. Jesus engaged them and said, "Come and see." And he invited them to sit down and to teach with them. They came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him the whole day. It was about 4:00. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which translated means anointed or the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. Now notice this, that when you look at this, Simon really means shifting or sandy or shaky. So Peter was the impetuous and impulsive, and he's shaky, and Jesus looks at him and said, you will be called Peter, which means strong, which means a rock and one of the foundational people of the new church. But at this time, he's looked like anything but that. And so Peter is confronted by that, and it says this, then the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, you have to remember that Nazareth was just sort of this backwater town, and the Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem, which was a small town but had links to the King of David, so it had some celebrity ring to it, but Nazareth was nothing like that. And so it goes on, and it says this, Philip said, come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no guile. In other words, he calls it like he sees it. So he speaks plain truth, and Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael recognized that, and Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And Jesus goes on to call these disciples individually by name. And again, it isn't just their name. It's their heart, their character, their fears, their frailty. And Jesus, in this instant, first calls them to believe in him as God's Son and the one who's come to redeem them. And I think Jesus also calls to us by name, calls to us and knows our fears and our frailty, our hearts and our shortcomings and our sins. But Jesus comes to us and bids us to follow him. And Jesus asks us to believe and to find forgiveness in the deepest way. But Jesus doesn't just call us by name to believe. Jesus also calls us to be disciples. And sometimes it looks, when we look at the next reading, the gospel reading found in the book of Matthew, that it seems like the two readings are almost contradictory. I mean, we're not sure exactly what happened to Peter in the meantime. We know that Peter had a home in, was from Bethsaida and then had a home in Capernaum. And we know that Jesus called him. And then we know that Peter had a mother-in-law and a wife and a family, and he had a fishing business. And so maybe Peter was weighed down by all the busyness of life and the bills that sometimes beset us, or maybe Peter just got sort of cold feet. We don't know exactly. Or it may be that Jesus just called him to believe and let him think about that as Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and considered the temptations before him and had a time of prayer and fasting. We don't know exactly what happened, except that there's another time that Peter is sought out by Jesus. And it says this as we pick up that reading. And this time it's in the city of Capernaum, which is also on the northern shore of Galilee. It's not very far away from Bethsaida. Peter, of course, was a fisherman. Now, we know something about the fishing boats of this time. In 1986, because of the receding waters of the Sea of Galilee, there was a first century fishing boat that was discovered. And it's about 27 feet long, and it's about 7 feet wide. And we know the range was usually 27 to 30 feet long, 7 or 8 feet wide, and about 4 feet in depth or the hull. And that they were put together in the bow and the stern by mortise and tenon joints. Now, if you want to know more about that, then Ellsworth Christmas gave me a good lesson on this when I was making beds for Savannah. But there's sort of a tongue and groove, the way they come together. So it's very sturdy. And they also had ribs that went horizontally across. And they could hold about 15 men. And they had a square mast sail. And they've had some reconstruction of one, and they have the original remnants of this. So it's very interesting. So Peter was in one of these boats. And it says this, once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and a crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at this lake at the shore. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. That's because the fishermen during this season did their fishing at night with cast nets, so roughly 20 feet wide, and they throw them out in the shallows at night and they draw the fish in. And Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. Now, you have to realize, if you've ever been on a lake when it's sort of quiet and someone's talking in the middle of the lake and they think no one can hear them, but you can, because across the water has a natural amplification process. And so Jesus uses that and has Simon Peter push out a little ways to the shore, begins to teach from there. It says this, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. And he realized that again, this time fishing was at night, not during the day. Fishing at this time and this season was during the was not just at night, but it was in the shallow waters near the shore, not out in the deep. But Peter says, if you say so, I will let down their nets. I think you and I are the same way sometimes. I mean, sometimes we hear Jesus as a teacher and we hear the words and we kind of listen to them. But when Jesus starts meddling with our life, you know, steps into our boat and then asks us to do something with our career, then it becomes more of a challenge. And Jesus to Peter, I mean, Jesus was a carpenter and a teacher. He surely wasn't a fisherman. But Jesus tells Peter to launch out into the deep. And I think in our own lives, sometimes God challenges us to do things that we normally wouldn't do, to push us out of the comfort zone and into the adventure of faith and what it means to be a disciple. And so Peter was faithful. And it says this, when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and they filled both boats so that both began to sink. That's a lot of fish. But you realize in some of these fish, they were carp and they were sardines and they were musk, which is called Peter's fish today. The musk could be about a foot and a half long, about 3.5 pounds in weight. And so they had these 20-foot wide cast nets with sinkers on them. They pull those ashore. And so those fish could pull the boat down. And they were excited by that. And Peter is so overwhelmed by this. And he signals Peter falls down on his knees and says this, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And maybe in that moment, Peter realized that it wasn't just about fishing, that it was about life, that Jesus was challenging him to push out into deep and to get out in unfamiliar water, and that if he took that step of faith, that Jesus knows even more about our careers and our lives and our times and our talents and our gifts than we realize. And so he just was crushed by that, and he probably also realized that his commitment had been shaky, just like his name, Simon, and he was sort of in shifting sandy soil, and that God had called him to be a rock. And so it says this, for he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Remember, this is written by John. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be a fisher of men. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. That's a really amazing kind of account. When you think about Jesus first found Simon, and of course he found all these other disciples and called them their unique personalities, and they would be great disciples and great apostles. And then it just seems like Peter believed, but that wasn't quite enough. And so maybe the calls of family, the calls of business, or just sort of a shaky faith. And Jesus went looking for him where he knew he'd be, where the capital of fishing was in that part and still is in the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee and the city of Capernaum, and was famous for the finger piers and these boats that were out there. And he was looking for Peter, and he was looking for James, and he was looking for John, and he finds Peter and has him to launch out into the deep. And I think in our own lives, sometimes we go through a point in life where we hear Jesus call us to believe, and then Jesus looks at us again maybe and says, be a disciple, be a follower, deepen your faith, grow deeper, sort of take an adventure in life and launch out into the deep. But there's also a third call of Peter, and that is to share the good news. And I want to pick up another reading, so we've got three gospel readings, but I think it's worth it. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus is talking to disciples about how that there's a harvest that's ready. And it says this, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord, to the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest. Think about that for a moment, because Jesus was about to do exactly that. So Jesus didn't just tell them a parable, and that's a good piece of news, and that's something to remember if someone gives you a quiz. But Jesus went right from there into calling them. It says this in chapter 10, verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are first Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town among the Samaritans, but go rather first to the lost sheep, to the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus knew they were going to share the good news. So Jesus called them to believe, and he called them to be disciples into spiritual growth. And then Jesus called them to share the good news and to start at home, and then from there to grow out from Judea and then Samaritan, the uttermost parts of the earth, but to first start at home. And I think that Jesus calls us to do the same thing, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes when we look at sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, we think of maybe images of some person standing on a street corner and they're passing out tracts and they're yelling at people, telling them they're going to hell, or these other kinds of images that seem so just catastrophic and sort of opposite in some ways from the love of God. And Jesus oftentimes, when he talked about the kingdom of heaven, talked about it like a wedding feast. And Savannah and I, this past weekend, went down to a family weekend Friday and Saturday in Tennessee. It was sort of a long drive, but we've got family in Missouri and family in Florida and family in Virginia, and so family up here, just us. And so they thought that the center of that was Tennessee. It's still a seven-hour drive from here to Natchez Trace State Park. You know, we had the reservations, and we kept them on the bulletin, and we had a president. And you know, you go to a wedding with excitement despite the long drive with the excitement. And family are going to be there, and friends are going to meet some people, and you go to that celebration, you see two people who are deeply in love, commit their lives to each other, and they celebrate that, and it's a sacred trust, and then it's a beautiful banquet, and people gather around that table, and they celebrate, and they toast the couple. And what if our image of what it was like to be in relationship with Jesus Christ was more like a wedding feast? And this morning, we're coming around the Lord's table. In many ways, that sort of recalls the Israelites coming out of Egypt and how God brought them from slavery to freedom and the Passover lamb. And then it reminds us of Jesus celebrated that meal with the disciples and just before his giving his life on the cross, and how it reminds us not just of the cross and his body that was given, his blood that was shed, but also reminds us of the wedding feast where we'll one day gather around the Lord's throne, and we'll have a time where we gather in the wedding feast around a great, great banquet table. And if our conveying that, if our sharing that to other people was more like a wedding feast, like handing out an invitation to a wedding feast and a wedding and the celebration of love, wouldn't people be more drawn to the love of Christ? And so I think for our lives, sometimes when we shun back from sharing the good news, we ought to remind us that Jesus, when he shared about the coming kingdom, was sharing the banquet feast of the love of God. So this morning, when you think about Christ's calling, not just the disciples. I mean, Jesus found Peter and all the other disciples and called them to believe. But then he didn't just leave it there. He went out when Peter's commitment seemed shaky and called Peter to a new, greater level of believing, to become a disciple and to follow him and to launch out into deep, not just with his boat, but with his life and with his faith. And also then he called Peter to share the good news. And later on, when Jesus had warned Peter that he was going to deny him not once but three times in the shadow of the persecution of the cross, and Peter denied Christ three times, then after the resurrection, one of the first things that Jesus did was go looking for Peter again. And Peter again had gone back to fishing, and Jesus went to Peter and made breakfast for him, and then in front of all the disciples, called Peter again and said to feed my sheep, as just commissioning him again in love. And you and I think of the same way. I mean, God calls us to believe, but not just to believe, but also to be a disciple, to launch out into the deep waters of our faith and to grow spiritually, and then to share the good news, like we were handing out a wedding invitation to someone and a great banquet feast, and then to grow each and every day as we celebrate Christ's love. I'm going to close with this thought, and I don't know if there's any jazz fans here, but there's one of the great jazz musicians of all times is John Coltrane. And John Coltrane is not just being a great jazz musician, but was also a person that struggled with addictions much of his life. At a later point in his life, he overcame those addictions and he broke those, he believed, through the power and love of Christ. And so he attributed his overcoming addiction to the great love of Christ, and his life was changed and forever inspired by that. And he wrote a great piece, a sort of a jazz album, really, called A Love Supreme. And that's the title of the piece of music, and it's this beautiful sort of rhapsodic piece of jazz. It has four parts, and the first is called The Acknowledgement, and the second is called The Resolution, which I think is the, you know, sort of his life coming to Christ, and then Pursuing, as if God is pursuing him, and it ends with this piece called A Psalm. The number and the album are rated in the all-time top three albums of jazz ever. And at one point, he would always play this as the last piece in his concert as sort of his testimony to God. because he was a jazz musician, and God called him to be a jazz musician and to share his faith as a jazz musician. And at one time after he had played this great piece called A Love Supreme, then he just walked out onto the stage before he left and said, Nunc Dimittis, and that's the Latin word you may recall from Simeon, who's waiting for Jesus in the temple. And when Mary and Joseph bring in Jesus, then he looks at this, and Nunc Dimittis means now depart. And so Simeon, who's been waiting all his life to see the Messiah, all of a sudden sees Jesus, and he's so moved by that, and he goes on and says this. He says, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of the people of Israel. And he was saying that was his testimony. Now he could pass away because he shared his faith in a way that was truly his, because he was a jazz musician and God called him to be that. And you and I are the same way. God calls us to believe. God calls us uniquely because God sees our names and our heart and our struggle and our character and our fears and our failures. But he calls us to believe. And then when our faith shakes, then he comes and he finds us and he lifts us up and he calls us to push out into deep and to be a disciple and to grow in faith. And then God calls us to share his faith and his love in a way that is uniquely us. And whatever our gifts and talents are, then we can share that in a way that is meaningful both to our life and to Christ's love. So this morning, I don't know which stage you're in, believing or becoming a deeper disciple or sharing the good news, maybe all those three. But know that Christ comes to us each individually and calls us by name, just like he did Peter, just like he did John. And so this morning, as we come around God's table, I invite us to hear Jesus speak our name and to invite us to a deeper level of faith and understanding and sharing God's love. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, this morning as we come to you in the busyness of life, and sometimes we're weighed down like Peter with the burdens of business or family or the cares of the world, and you come to us and you speak our name. You know our deepest hearts, and you call to us as deep calls to deep. And you lift us up and you invite us to believe in you as Lord and Savior. And when we slip away, then you find us again. You find us and not only strengthen our faith, but invite us to be a disciple, one who grows in faith and launches into the deep. And then sometimes you seek us out some more and invite us not only to continue to grow, but to share the love that we found in you. Like Peter, who went from being someone who's shaking their faith to someone who was rock solid in their foundation of faith, then you invite us to grow and to share. And so this season, as we come into Easter, help us to hear you call our name and to deepen our faith in each and every day. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.